friends, it's a delight that Jean's with us today. Let's pray for her and for ourselves. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for Jean's commitment to you and to understanding your word. Lord, we ask that you would speak clearly through her. Lord, give us that wisdom to be people who are counted amongst the wise, who hear and respond rightly to your word to us today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
How's that? All right.
That's fine, Martin. Thank you. Morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today. Well, I was a bit confused. You might say we're all confused. I hope you're getting on well with this book. We've been studying it in our home group, and we're getting some really good discussions. But I was a bit confused because in the next chapter, 6, it's headed a diverse leadership, whereas in the rota, it's got a priesthood of all believers. And it also had a different, he has a different chapter of Ephesians, and I felt I wanted to change it to Ephesians chapter 4 because it expresses more fully what he was trying to say in the book. Anyway, I was also a bit confused when I first heard about this chapter. Before I'd read it, someone told me about it, and I thought it was going to be a case of them, the clergy, and us, the laity, the ordinary people. But it wasn't until I read this chapter several times and thought about it that I came to realize it was more about understanding the calling that each one of us has in fulfilling our priestly role and supporting each other in the process. Now, the word clergy means a lot or inheritance, such as when Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 about the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And I'll let you into a little secret, that's Martin's favourite verse. One of. It has a sense of blessing and status. But actually, when it is used in Scripture, it refers to everybody, not just the clergy. Laity means of the common people. Well, I hope you don't think you're common here this morning. But actually, it means that word laity isn't even in the New Testament. And the writer Karl Barth said, "The term laity is one of the worst in the vocabulary of religion and ought to be banished from conversation." Well, I can't see me having a conversation with you about laity over the coffee afterwards. But of course, I actually am in rather a unique position, as are Rose and Joe and Harry in the past, in our role as lay ministers. Because just as Martin and Andrew and Steve had the calling to ordained ministry, so we too had a specific call to become licensed lay ministers. But having said that, I want to focus on the fact that we all have a calling. The Bible teaches a completely opposite principle to the hierarchy of male leadership that we've seen in history, and that's the priesthood, the principle of the priesthood of all believers. And those words are found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And later on in verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood." So one term you're holy, and the next term you're royal, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Peter is saying that we are all part of the body of Christ, and each and every one of us are called to fulfill the priestly ministry in a similar way to the priests in the Old Testament. They represented God to the people, and they represented and brought the people to God in prayer. The Levite tribe were the only ones entitled to work as priests in the temple, and they brought sacrifices to God. They were in his presence, and they worshipped and praised him. all things that we as today's priesthood of all believers are now called to do. We share Jesus with the world and we bring the world to God in prayer. We can be in God's presence because Christ has separated and broken down the barrier that separated us. And we all have access to God through Christ. And like the priests of old, we too are called to live a life of worship and praise. Now, and of course, there were wonderful words of blessing that came from the priests in the Old Testament, such as the lovely one in Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's a wonderful blessing to pray into other people's lives. Yes, there are some who have a particular role to play within the body of Christ, but there's no them and us. There's no divide. And it means that priestly ministry is not just happening on a Sunday here by the clergy or others, but priestly ministry happens every day in every believer in every aspect of our lives. Did you realize that you are fulfilling your priestly role when you ring someone up and ask them if they're okay and you pray with them on the phone? That's fulfilling your priestly duty. And when you encourage someone to look to Jesus, you are fulfilling a priestly role. And when you watch the news and see the awful things that are happening and intercede on behalf of those people and nations and governments, you are fulfilling your priestly role. Just as there was diversity among the disciples and early Christians, so God has made us all with different abilities and gifts, personalities, life experiences, that all come together to enable us to fulfill a particular role or purpose in the work of his kingdom. I'll let you into another secret. I actually spoke at this on this chapter last week round the corner at Emmanuel, and the lady there who was leading did a 5-minute little talk with the children, and she had a tray with two bowls on, and in the bowls were lots and lots of colourful M&M sweets, which the children happily devoured afterwards. But what a lovely picture of the diversity of all of us, but each coming with our different and unique gifts to bless the whole body of Christ. Now, this morning, we may be reluctant or afraid to answer the call to follow Jesus or to work for him. Or we may feel we're not holy enough or not worthy, or not really, I can't be part of the priesthood of all believers, surely. That's only for special people. Or it may be you are wary in case he asks you to do something you don't really want to do. I grew up in a Baptist church in Bromley, and they sent out several missionaries over the years to different countries, and I was always a little bit aware that God might want to call me, and I wasn't really sure I wanted to be a missionary. But have you ever spoken to a reluctant missionary? You speak to Ruth Guinness or Eric and Rena or Andy Blake. They are absolutely full of joy and just wanting to serve God in their particular places. They responded to God's call with all their hearts and beings. And he calls us and uses us in line with our own desires, hopes, and giftings. So don't be afraid to answer God's call. And we don't need necessarily a specific call. The general call is here in this passage, as Paul begs the Ephesians to lead a life worthy of their calling, for you have been called by God. Years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Russia with Paul Jazz and David Stearns. And I didn't have a specific call. I didn't have a Bible verse or a special word from God. No one came up to me and said, I think you should go to Russia, Jean. It was a general call, an invite, that people could go to Russia if they wanted to, and the offer was there, the opportunity was there. And my husband then said, what's stopping you? Nothing was stopping me. He agreed to look after the children for 2 weeks, and we went, and we had an amazing time. And in the church worldwide today, ordinary Christians, both men and women, are being called to take responsibility in leading small churches in homes. This is what he's talking about in this book, to encourage more church-like opportunities for people to be the body of Christ in different ways. William Booth, the pioneer of the Salvation Army, is often quoted as saying, "Some of my best men are women." And we see from the Gospels that many women use their homes for the early churches to worship and grow together in. Now, for many years, I've been here since 1968, so I have seen lots of things happen in Pip and Jim's, but we have always believed in every member ministry. And in fact, a few years ago, Martin slightly changed that to every member missionary. I hope some of you remember that. So everyone has a part to play in the building up of Pip and Jim's here and the church in the world wide. Yes, some are called into full-time ministry or into full-time and other lay ministry roles. But as Peter says in his letter, we are all a royal priesthood, and we all have a calling to be part of the every member ministry of this church. So let's stop at this point and let me ask you a pointed question, which I don't normally do in sermons. What is God calling you to do? I wonder if there's a particular role that's popped up into your mind, or a thought that's been niggling away at you for some time. And added on to that, do you believe that you are part of the priesthood of all believers? That you are a holy people, a royal priesthood? I like the quote at the beginning of this chapter by Oz Guinness. Calling is not only a matter of being and doing what we are, but also of becoming what we are not yet, but are called by God to be. We're not there yet, but we're called by God to be that person, that useful gift. Over the years in our congregation, many, many people have answered the call to follow Jesus and to witness and share for him. Over the years, we've sent people to Portugal, Russia, Mozambique, South Africa, India, and many other places. Others have gone into prisons, on the streets, helped with Alpha suppers, or shared in the life of the church by being involved with PJ Gang, Link, Breakaway, Toddlers, and so much more. I wonder where the adventure of being a Christian is going to take you in the future. What you may not yet experience, but are called by God to be. And we don't necessarily need to go to Bible college or university or do years of theological training to answer the call to follow Jesus, because he enables us to fulfill any role and gives us gifts to enable us to share in that calling. We had a list in our Bible reading of the five gifts that Jesus gives the church. Firstly, apostle means sent one or mission. We see this with the 12 disciples who had a unique calling to establish the church at the beginning of its life. But other people are included under the name of apostle, including Andronicus and Junia, which is a woman's name. So being an apostle means being sent to lead the people forward in the mission. And prophets. Prophets are God-focused with a deep desire to enable people to come closer to Jesus. Prophets are the spiritual eyes and ears of the church. They help the church to hear God's voice and relate to decision-making by the Holy Spirit. And then there's evangelists. The key role of an evangelist is to bring the good news to people who do not know Jesus. They love to talk about Jesus and are often engaging storytellers. They are rather like the midwives of the church. And then there are pastors. sometimes referred to as shepherds, and they are vital in ensuring the church community is a place of love and deep relationships. They ensure the church is a place where healing and restoration can take place. They are often the glue that holds the community together. And then there's teacher. The primary role of the teacher is to help the church understand scripture, truth, and grow in wisdom and faith in God. They help to ensure that there is a good understanding and knowledge of the Bible. And that's what many of our home group leaders are doing with their groups. Now, the reason why these five roles are significant is they echo the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was an apostle sent by God. He was known as a prophet and clearly exercised prophetic ministry. He was an evangelist seeking and saving the lost. And he pastored the people he called to follow him, calling himself the Good Shepherd. And he was clearly a teacher, as the Gospels are full of his teaching, and people were amazed at the authority with which he taught. And in this day and age, we desperately need apostles and prophets and evangelists and preachers and teachers and pastors. And any or all of us could be called into any of these ministries. But there are so many other areas of life, of service in the Christian life. I wonder, can you pinpoint in your mind any of these areas that are lacking, any of these roles that are lacking in church today? And can we ask ourselves, am I fulfilling my calling? I was helped to understand my calling to readership by others encouraging me. So perhaps that's something you can do for someone else. You might feel that someone else is using gifts or has gifts that God can use. And you might just gently have a word with them or nudge them or pray for them, encourage them. And having said that, three times a year, the diocese put on a special course called It's Your Calling Day. And I know some people have been on that. People then can explore what God might be leading them into. And the next one I've discovered is the 24th of February next year. So that's something to think about and pray about. The words Jesus spoke to the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee, "Follow me," are still being spoken into the hearts of men and women, of those who are willing to hear. It might be you have a burning conviction that God is calling you into something specific, or a little niggle, a nagging feeling that just won't go away. And often the starting point for exploring a Christian ministry is simply to say to God, like the boy Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And there are loads and loads of areas that he talks about in the book, and there are others I've added, that we might discover that we are being called into. Pastoral care, hospital chaplaincy and visiting, work in schools, reading with children, ordination, licensed lay ministry, prayer ministry, prison ministry, music ministry, just by being a parent or a member of a family, in the workplace. The list can go on and on of what God is calling us to do and be. Jesus chose 12 men to be involved in his mission and ministry, and he trained them on the job. And nowadays, people have to go through a discernment process and academic training for ordained and lay ministry. But there's another course the diocese puts on called Listening and Speaking. And that has enabled some of our members to preach once a quarter, and we welcome their giftings in this area. It might be a good place for you to start. So we thank God that Martin, Andrew, and Steve answered the call to God for full-time ministry. We are blessed because of their ministry amongst us. And part of our calling, surely, is to support them, encourage them, and pray for them. But we all have a calling to minister and serve and use the gifts that God has given us. So let's encourage each other and pray for each other, and let's ask each other to respond to the call of God like the boy Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." So we're all called to be followers of Christ. We're all called to be part of the priesthood of all believers. And we're called to fulfill the part God desires for us in building up the body of Christ here. And we're going to sing now, as we end these thoughts on the priesthood of all believers, a song that includes these words: "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." And that's an opportunity for all of us to offer ourselves afresh to God and ask him to call us and anoint us, so that Pip and Jim's can be built up and reach that wonderful unity in the faith and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.